This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Father, we come into your presence. And it is your word that we seek. Only you have the words of eternal life. And we have come to know and believe that you are the Son of God. So we want to hear you speak, Lord. We pray, Holy Spirit, that you will open our eyes and our understanding to see and to hear what you say. Lord, we thank you that whosoever receives your word in humility and meekness, the purpose of that word will not return void to you, but it will accomplish its purpose, and that is to give life. So we are here to receive your life, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. This grade sevens, you can go to your class. The last 2 weeks we've been exploring Abram's faith. Who was this man whose faith changed the course of humanity, through which God established his plan? What was this faith? What made his faith so great that God called him the father of faith? And so we read in Galatians chapter 3 from verse 6. Consider Abram. He believed God and it was accredited to him as righteousness. Understand then that those who have faith are children of Abram. Scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, which is us, and announce the gospel in advance to Abram. All nations will be blessed through you. So those who rely on faith are blessed along with Abram, the man of faith. And so in the past couple of weeks, we saw how God called Abram out of a pagan nation, a sinful city and an unbelieving family, to follow him to a different country, a country that he did not know, a country that God was still going to show him. And there God promised to bless him, to give him an inheritance, to make him a great nation, to multiply him, and that through him all the families of the world will be blessed. And so God revealed to Abram in advance his plan, the gospel. The gospel, the fact that humanity will be saved through faith. And Abram did two things in response to God's word. He believed God and he acted on that faith. And Abram did not only believe in God, but he was fully convinced that God was able to do what he said. And so he left everything and followed God. And that faith was a credit to Abram as righteousness. Very powerful. A sinful man out of a sinful nation was accredited righteous by God because not of his life, but because of his faith. Because he chose to believe God. Fully convinced that God is able to do what he said, acted on that faith, and left everything. And God says, that I accredit to you as righteousness. And that still stands for everyone who chooses to believe and follow God to this very day. And because Abram responded in the right way, because God accredited it to him as righteousness, and so also who follows in the same footsteps, we read in Romans 4 from verse 20, he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that he had promised, he was also able to perform. Therefore, it was accounted to him as righteousness. Very powerful scripture. Because of his faith, God made a covenant with this man. And not just with him, but all his offspring and those who choose to believe like he did. To this very day, we stand under that covenant God made with Abram. A covenant of faith. Praise God, we are no longer under the covenant of the law. But we are under the covenant of faith.
And that's what Galatians 3 is all about. That even though God established a second covenant, it does not nullify the first covenant. And through faith, we can be part of the first covenant and no longer be part of the second covenant. We are no longer under the obligation of the law, but under grace through faith. You see, both these covenants required obedience. Both of them required obedience. The one from a place of obligation under the law, and the other from faith. And today we stand not under the obligation of the law, but we stand under faith. And so we are obedient not because of obligation of the law, we are obedient because of faith. Just like Abram was obedient, not because of a law, not because of obligation, but because he believed God. But that is for another time. So I want us to continue to look at Abram's life and faith and learn from him to see God's purpose and desire for us, who is his offspring. First of all, we saw that Abram obeyed God's word and left his country, his family, and his father's house, and took with him his nephew Lot. We read of that in Genesis 13. And as they traveled together to this land that God was showing them, a different land that they did not know, God blessed them. God blessed Abram and those who traveled with him, Lot. God exceedingly multiplied their wealth and their livestock to such an extent that where they lived could no longer sustain the two of them together because they just had so many animals. And so there was a conflict arising between the shepherds of Lot and the shepherd of Abram because of the scarcities of the resources because they just had so many animals. And so because of this conflict, they had to part ways. And so we read in Genesis 13 how then Abram brought Lot with him on a high place and showed him all the country and said, listen here, we can't continue like this in conflict. We need to part our ways. You need to go one way and I need to go the other way because we are just too big, too blessed. And so Abram gave Lot the first choice. He says, I want you to choose first. And so Lot looked at the world around him and he chose the best. He saw the greenest, most fertile portion of the land and he told Abram, I will go that way. And Abram said, fine, I will go the other way. And we read of this in Genesis 13 verse 10. And Lot lifted his eye and saw the plain of Jordan. It was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt as you go towards Zorah. Then Lot chose for himself all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east. And they were separated from one another. Then we fast forward a little bit, sometime later in Genesis 14, the next chapter, we read that there was four kings that made war against five kings. Four against five, and these four kings were very powerful kings, and they decided to make war against the five that rebelled against their authority. And so they made war against these five kings, the four kings. And the kings which they attacked, two of the five were the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah, where Lot lived. And so when the kings attacked that land, they also conquered not just the five kings, but they also overcame all the people in it. And so they took loot of everything that they could. All the wealth, all the women, children, men. They took everything captive as their spoil. Now word came to Abram of Lot's plight. That Lot, with all of his family possessions and all his livestock, women and children were also taken captive, was also part of the loot of the four kings. And so Abram, because he clearly loved Lot, gathered his servants together, about 300 men. And he said, we need to go and rescue my nephew. So there was Abram against four kings. The four kings that just overcame five kings. Now Abram said, let's go rescue my nephew. Abram clearly cared a lot about Lot. Not only gave him the first choice of the best land, he was willing to risk everything, even his life, to rescue Lot against great odds. What is the chances? But you know what? God was with Abram. God made a promise. I'm going to be with you. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless those who bless you, and I'm going to curse those who curse you. So Abram went against the five kings, the four kings. And because God was with Abram, guess what happened? Abram defeated the four kings, rescued Lot, and got everything back, including all the loot and spoils of the four kings. And so as he returned over this great victory, a victory against all odds, returning to his land, he meets a very mysterious figure, a very mysterious person, the king of Salem, Melchizedek. Now, he was not part of the conflict, but very interestingly, he arrives at exactly the same time as the king of Sodom, one of the four kings that lost everything, came to meet Abram to discuss terms of who's going to be rewarded and how we're going to divide the spoils. It's at that very point where the negotiation was about who should be credited and who should be rewarded that this very mysterious king of Salem appeared and spoke to Abram. Who was this king of Salem? Melchizedek. It's very interesting. Salem comes from the Hebrew word meaning peace. That would make Melchizedek the king of peace. The Hebrew name Melchizedek itself means king of righteousness. So Melchizedek, the king of righteousness, is the king of peace. It's the same individual that is mentioned in Psalm 110 verse 4, speaking prophetically of Christ. David stated, the Lord, Psalm 110 verse 4, the Lord has shown and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. We further read of him, of course, in Hebrews, that quoted the same verse, speaking of Christ, the high priest in the order of Melchizedek. And then in Hebrews 7, it continues and speak of this man, this mysterious figure. Hebrews 7 from verse 1. Now this Melchizedek was the king of Salem, the priest of the Most High, of God the Most High. And he met Abram returning from the defeat of the kings and blessed him. And Abram gave him a tenth of everything. First, the name Melchizedek means king of righteousness. Then also king of Salem means king of peace. Without father or mother, without genealogy, without beginning of days or end of life, resembling the Son of God, he remains a priest forever. A great mystery, this Melchizedek. Who was this figure that appears to Abram? Scholars are divided. It remains a mystery, but one thing is for sure. One thing is known very clearly, that he represented God. He represented God Most High. If there's one thing about this mysterious figure that we're not sure where he comes from, we're not sure where he is today, one thing the Word of God says, he lives forever, he's priest forever, but one thing that we know, at the time he appeared to Abram, he was the representative, he was the priest of God Most High. That we know for sure. He represented God in a very powerful way. Now let us read what happens next. Genesis 14 from verse 17. After Abram returned from defeating, let's just call him the great king, and all the kings allied with him, the son of Sodom, the king of Sodom, came to meet him in the valley of Shaif, that is the king's valley. Then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine, and we're going to have that in a moment. He was the priest of God Most High, and he blessed Abram, saying, blessed be Abram, God, by God Most High, creator of heaven and earth, and praise be to God Most High, who delivered your enemies into your hand. And after the king of Salem, the representative of God, spoke, Abram responded. Because this priest, this king, this representative of God said something powerful. He said, God is the one who blesses you, and God is the one that gave you the victory. And immediately Abram responded. Then Abram gave him a tenth of everything.
The king of Sodom said to Abram, "Give me the people and keep the goods for yourself." But Abram said to the king of Sodom, "With raised hand I have sworn an oath to the Lord God Most High, creator of heavens and earth, that I will accept nothing belonging to you, not even a thread or a strap of a sandal, so that you will never be able to say, 'I made Abram rich.' I will accept nothing but what the men had eaten and the share which belongs to the men that went with me." Very powerful statement. Very powerful event that took place and a very powerful response. Before the negotiation started on who would be recognized and rewarded for the victory and how much each one should receive, God spoke to Abram. And he said three things. "I am the one who protects you, I'm the one who blesses you, and I'm the one that gave you this victory." And Abram believed God. Abram believed God. It was the same pattern all over again when he spoke to him the first time. Abram believed God and he acted on that faith and he gave a tenth of everything, acknowledging that the one who deserves the credit, the one who really needs to be rewarded, is God himself. Immediately, Abram gave 10% to God, acknowledging that he deserves the credit. And Abram turns to the king of Sodom and says, "I'm going to take nothing from you." Why? Because God is the one who blesses me, not you. Because that's exactly what the priest Melchizedek said. "I am the God who blesses you. I'm the one who gave you the victory." And so he says very boldly to this king, "I will have nothing from you." Why? Because he was fully convinced that God was able to do what he said. And so he acted on that faith. The very next verse, God responds to Abram. Chapter 15, verse 1. "Then after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. 'Fear not, Abram. I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great.'" You see the pattern of Abram's faith, the father of faith. Abram's obedience was not from a place of obligation. His obedience was from a place of faith. Abram did not tithe because of the law. Abram tithed because of faith, acknowledging that God was the one who gave him the victory. God was the one that blesses him. As a matter of fact, there was no law yet. There was no obligation yet to tithe. He did it out of faith. You know, it's so interesting how many people today do not tithe because they say they're no longer under the obligation of the law, and they are absolutely right. But Abram did it in faith. He did it in faith. He didn't do it because of the obligation of the law. He did it in response to who God is. It was from a place of faith. Our father of faith had no law. He had no obligation. He only had faith. You know, in my own life, I am so grateful to God that I learned that I give not out of obligation, but out of faith. I'm so grateful that God revealed this to me when I still had no spoils, when there was so very little to give from. And I learned this principle, and I'm thankful for God. When I started, I had nothing. So it was easy for me to give God a tenth of nothing. I remember Deuteronomy 8 verse 18. "And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you power to get wealth, that He may confirm His covenant which He swore to your fathers, as it is this day. I am blessed because God blesses me." That is faith. I remember when I was a young man and God called me to the ministry, and my parents were very concerned because my mother was an orphan, my father grew up poor, and they worked very hard to get to the top of their profession, and yet their firstborn son wants to serve the Lord for nothing.
was not easy for them. So they said, I should go study first. So I did. And when I finished, I told my father, I'm not coming to the farm. I'm going to follow God. He's calling on my life. I'm going into the ministry. And that was difficult for them because they paid for my studies, hoping that I would take over the farm. And then I said, no, I'm still going to follow the Lord. And so I enrolled to become a missionary because that's what I thought it meant, to follow the Lord. And I went to YWAM and I saved enough money in the army so that I could support myself, because I knew I didn't entirely have the blessing of my parents. Couldn't ask them to pay for that also. So I supported myself with the wealth that I gathered while I was still a soldier. And so at the end of that year, when my money ran out, my parents asked me the same question again, are you coming back home? And I said, no, mother, father, I'm going to serve the Lord. And then the Lord led me to serve the church. And I became a volunteer full time. It was my parents' worst nightmare. Their son living by faith. And so they wanted to support me when I told them I'm going to serve the church. And I said to them, no, I don't want you to support me. You used to give me 300 rand a month for pocket money. I will grant you to give me 300 rand a month pocket money, but not a cent more, because I want you to see that God is faithful, that what He promised, He's able to do. And I'm going to serve God, and I'm going to stand in faith that He will provide for me, not just for my faith, but also for your faith. It was very difficult for my parents. I remember when my father came to pick me up from YWAM to take me to Stellenbosch to see where I'm going to live. And I had nowhere to live. And I had to tell my father, you need to drop me there because this is where I'm going to stay. And he would to drop me at an address that I did not have. And I knew I'm going to have the same conversation all over again. And I prayed. Make a long story short, I had a place for a month at a friend's place where my father dropped me off, but I knew the cover won't last. I went to a friend that worked for the Mati Informatie Bureau. She said she had a very strange call from somebody. And I knew that my 300 rand a month was not enough to pay for any rent I could find in Stellenbosch. The cheapest you could get was 1,000 rand for a small room somewhere. And I had 300 rand. But as I started this journey of faith, I decided, God, I'm going to honor you and I'm going to give you 30 rand. Because this 300 rand is not enough anyway. But I'm going to tithe. And I gave God 30 rand, and a month later, my friend had this very strange call. An old gentleman called and said he had a room available. But he said 100 rand. And it didn't make sense to her. She thought it's probably 100 rand a day or a week or... But the old man was so vague, she couldn't understand, and she had to write this down. I said, don't worry, I'll go to the old man. I'll inquire on your behalf. And I went to the gentleman, and I said, sir, I hear you have a flat available. He said, no, it's not a flat, it's a room. It's an outside room. I said, that's wonderful, sir. How much a month is this room? He said, it's 100 rand. I said, a week, sir? No, 100 rand a month. I said, sir, I will take that room. So my journey of faith started with a room for 100 rand a month in Stellenbosch. And so God was faithful to do what He said He would do. And today I no longer live in a room outside in somebody's yard. I don't. But I know who gave me that house. I know who gave me the power to be where I am today. I know it's God. And I still acknowledge Him from to this day, because He is faithful. That was Abram's life. Abram responded in faith to God's promise, and God blessed him. It's the same God today. God still promises to us who are of Abram's offspring, to those who respond in faith, the same blessing. The question is, do we believe? Do we trust God? Are we fully convinced that God is able to do what He said He would do? I want to ask the ushers to hand out the bread and the wine. I have discovered one thing in my life. Everything that we do in the kingdom of God is by faith. That's how the kingdom of God operates. Being fully convinced that God is able to do what he said he would do and then act on that faith. And it's when we do that the seas part, we walk on water, God provides. It's when we walk in faith like Abram did. I'm not just fully convinced that God's kingdom worked by faith. I'm also convinced that God's word is true. Not just because I believe it's in the word, but because I see it in my own life. That's why Hebrews 11 verse 6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to God must believe that he exists and that he is a rewarder of those who earnestly seek him. He's a rewarder of those who earnestly seek him. Faith requires action. That is the story of Abram. And we are of his offspring if we have faith like him. But the thing about faith is it often costs us something. It often costs us of our time, our ability, our money, our trust. Faith in God costs us something. That is what makes it real. And God responds to that faith. And so this morning I want us to pray and consider our father of faith, Abram. When God called him out of the world to follow him to an inheritance, God still calls us to the same. He calls us the same way, out of the same place, to follow him to the same place. Eternal life with him. And so let us consider our response to God. When he speaks, when he calls, when he promises, where he leads, where he guides, that we may have faith, so that we may reap that promise of faith, which is not just blessing here, it is eternal life, the greatest blessing of all. So I want us to close our eyes, and I want us to consider Abram's faith. I want us to consider our own lives and the promises of God and the things that we know that God has said, whether we are fully convinced that we'll make a choice, a decision to follow him, to follow his son into his kingdom, surrender everything so that we may gain all. Let's just do that for a moment. Just respond to God's word. That what the Spirit laid on your heart, just in your own heart, your own words, just to respond to the Lord. Lord, we want to thank you for your grace, for your love and your promises. Lord, we want to thank you that you called us, Lord, out of this world to follow your Son into an inheritance that cannot be compared to what this world can give. You called us in faith to follow you. And Lord, when we do, you make us righteous, you redeem us. You give us new life. You pour your Spirit within us. You seal us and call us your own. And make us a co-heir with your Son. For so whosoever believes, puts their trust in you and follow you. God, thank you that you promise to bless us and to multiply us as we continue to have faith in you. As we stick to your plan to be called out of the world, to follow your Son and to make disciples. God, we want to respond this morning to your word and your plan. And we want to say, yes, God, I do not understand yet. I do not see yet. It makes no sense, but I choose to believe because only you have the words of eternal life. And we have come to know and believe that you are the Son of God. And so, Lord, today for each and every one of us, you are calling us to take a step of faith in different areas of our lives. And Lord, I pray, Lord, that we will respond with boldness, knowing that you are our shield. You're the one who protects us. You're the one who blesses us. You're the one that gives us the victory. And so, Lord, we want to respond to you with our lives. Oh, God, and for some of us, it's like that man that you asked whether he believes. And he said, God, I believe. Help me in my unbelief. And you still healed the man's son. Lord, for some of us today, we say, Lord, I believe, but help me in my unbelief. Lord, I thank you that as we choose to put our trust in you, you will help us indeed. You will show us the way. And Lord, for some of us, Lord, you say, I want you to step out of the boat. That makes no sense, but because you are calling me, I'm willing to step out of the boat. God, help us not to look to circumstances to doubt, but to look to you. Knowing that even when we do, you are faithful to save us. Thank you that you do not leave us. You come after us. Like that word of this morning. You come after us. Lord, I pray that we will live our lives in such a way that people will see your faithfulness. Like Romans says, Lord, let us not conform to this world, but let us be transformed by the renewing of our mind, the way we think, that we may prove through the way we live what is the good, the perfect, and acceptable will of God. That people may see the light that is in us. And when they ask us, why are you so different? Why are you so foolish? We may say, it's because of Christ in me. His life, his death, his resurrection, and his promise. And Lord, I thank you that it is the gospel, the testimony of who you are, that leads men and women to you. God, I pray that you will give us the faith to follow. Give us the faith to testify when we are asked why, so that you may receive all the glory. Lord, we want to follow you as Abram did. We want to follow you in every aspect of our lives, not because we have to, but because we believe. Thank you that we know that you exist and you are a rewarder of those who earnestly seek you. We thank you for this. If you are here where all the eyes are closed and you need to surrender your life to God, maybe you've doubted, maybe you've wondered, maybe you know the gospel, but you've never took that step out of the world. Today, God is calling you. Get out of this nation, your family and your father's house, and follow me. If that is you, I want you to respond to God by just raising your hand. Say, God, here I am. I want to give you my life and follow you where you lead me to inheritance, not here. Thank you for that hand. Is there anyone else? Thank you for that hand. Thank you. Is there anyone else? You can just raise your hand and drop it again. Just a response to God. If you raised your hand, you can drop it. Thank you. Is there anyone else? Is there anyone else? Thank you. You can drop that hand. Anyone else? Lord, I thank you for those who are responding today to a call. A call that has been going out for centuries, for whosoever would believe may become part of an offspring that you made a covenant with that will stand until the day you return. I will be your God. You will be my son. And I will be your shield, your God, your great reward. And I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. If you've raised your hand, I want us all to pray together. Pray with those who have made that commitment today. A simple prayer. Father God, I choose today to put my faith in you. What you say about Jesus, your Son, my Savior, today I give you my life. I respond to your word. I want to follow you. I want to be your child. I thank you for forgiving me, for redeeming me, that I might follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. If you've prayed that prayer in faith, God declares today, you are mine, you are new. Your sins are taken away from you. Because you are responding in the right way, I declare you righteous. I declare you righteous. I would love to pray with you after the service. But the next thing you do, the next step of faith, of obedience, not out of obligation but faith, is you get yourself baptized. That's what you do. That's the pattern of the New Testament. If you give your life to God, you get yourself baptized. If you don't believe me, read it yourself. It's all there. I want to encourage you. Don't let man force you or influence you. Let only God's love and His promises lead you. And you will have everything that He promised. If not in this life, in the life to come. That is the God that we serve. Amen. Let's take together the bread and the wine. Father, we thank you for this bread. It symbolizes your sacrifice for us, the cost that you paid to redeem us to yourself. Lord, we thank you for this. We will not forget. We choose to believe that this body was broken, not just for us, but for me. And as I eat of this, as I eat of your flesh and drink of your blood, I become part of you and I have eternal life. And therefore we believe as we eat together in Jesus' name. Let's eat together. Lord, we thank you for this cup. It is the blood of your Son that seals us for eternity. Thank you, God, that this is our guarantee, not my works, nor my intentions, but your works. And Lord, I thank you that as I believe and choose to follow, Lord, you rescue, you cleanse, you promise, and you establish. So we drink this cup. Oh Lord, we drink it as a testimony of our faith, that we believe that you've died for us, that you raised from the dead, and that you are alive, preparing a place for us. You poured out your Spirit so that we can follow you until we meet you in that place. In Jesus' name, let's drink together. I want us to stand and let's just worship the Lord. Let's focus on Him. And as we do, if you are struggling in your walk of faith, if there's something that we can pray with you, we'll be here for a moment. Just want us to respond to whatever the Lord has laid on our hearts in faith. If you need a prayer, we'll be here. Let's just all stand together, put our focus on Him and worship Him.
This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.